Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. We're talking with Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent today on the program as we talk about this week's city council meeting and other business involving our very fine municipality here in Rowan County. And Mr. Mayor, welcome as always to the program.
Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate you having us.
I guess one of the main things you did at this week's council meeting was work on the budget again and try to finalize things.
We did, and we have a new city clerk, Christy Cunningham, who's worked very hard. We have our city attorney, Joy Stevens, myself, and we have three council members, and it's been kind of a tradition to have three council members as well as a couple other administrative staff work on that as a group. And since it was my second budget, since it was our city attorney's and her second budget that she's worked on in her 17 years there, and Chrissy's first, we sought some additional set of eyes to look at it to make sure, you know, we're not being too conservative or we're being not conservative enough. And so we were fortunate to have a good relationship with Tim Eldridge, who works with Baldwin over in Fleming County. And Tim works with us a lot on reviewing different things like audits and so on and so forth. And when he went through it and looked at it as a second set of eyes, because as you know, when you stare at that stuff for weeks, you know, it's always good to have a fresh set of eyes who can help you and advise you. And after he looked at it, we felt comfortable in saying that we were way too conservative with our revenues. And so we were able to adjust it up $1 million. So $1 million then will what we have in the bank with also the carryover.
To $1 million or $1 million more than what you expected?
$1 million more than what we expected.
So what are you anticipating roughly then?
Well, with $1 million we're going to have in the bank, as we always try to have a reserve there for emergencies and whatnot. And then we have approximately 482, I think, 450, somewhere in there of carryover. So about 1.5 when it looked like initially it was going to be about 500. So that makes everything look better. It also makes us feel like those are more real numbers, because something I found out, and of course, you know, your wife, Joni, worked there for several years, and she knows the process, and we don't get really real numbers until the audit halfway through the year, which is roughly around November. So it's really hard to get the real numbers you like. You always want to, when you're dealing with taxpayers' money, you got to be a good steward. And that's our first and foremost. We want to be good stewards. We want to be very efficient. And you try to estimate revenues low, and you try to estimate expenses and costs high, so that, you know, you don't go in with a false sense of security, so to speak. And we did that beginning, readjusting it. We still feel very comfortable, as does the other council members who've looked at it, namely Glenn Teager, who Glenn, of course, is the chief financial officer for the Rowan County Board of Education. And once we all got eyes on it, we all felt comfortable moving it up. And it's something that we're very proud of now, and we're going forward with it. And something else we're very proud of is according to our books, as of last night, all of our department heads, all of their budgets that they had allocated for this current year are all under budget, which is good. And it's one thing when you budget $100,000. Some people think, well, you go out and spend $100,000 because it's in there. Well, no, it's in there if you need it. You don't necessarily have to spend all of it. And that's one thing that the city's been very good at for several years, being very lean. And we feel good going forward.
Why was there an increase in the projected revenues? What perhaps caused that?
Well, what we decided to do is we were always being very conservative in the numbers based on where we are now. And when you look at the past, we actually looked back the last 3 or 4 years, looked at what came in November with the audit. And our numbers are very similar. If you look at them over we did a little chart there, a little graph that we did in our office. If you look at the way that it came in, they've been pretty steady. So we were just underestimating revenues way too conservative. And when he went back and looked at the trends they have been doing, and also taking into account some of the construction and different things that are going on, that we really haven't seen that yet. And we know that's going to be a bump over the next 2 years, and we don't want to put all that in there. But then again, we want to allow ourselves some of that because, you know, those are going to be true numbers come November and December.
Yeah, we talked about that, I think, the last time you were here, about all the construction projects and, of course, the tax revenue off those projects. When you talk about the renovation at the Adrian Dorn University Center here on the Moorhead campus, you have the new dormitory that's currently getting, I guess, closer to completion stage here later on in the summer, the new building for St. Clair Regional Medical Center, their medical services pavilion.
Parking garage and the
parking
and the food
garage
services.
And also the brand new Rowan County Detention Center.
Exactly. All those add up roughly $180 million if you look at them, all those together. University's doing roughly $130 million. You got a $25, $28 million project at St. Clair. You got the $20 million project that's going to be the jail somewhere in there. So when you add it all up, it's about $170-180 million, and that really helps us. But that also could be a false sense of security in that that's not going to be sustainable money. That's going to be occupational taxes, especially of when you talk about the different contractors coming in. So we know that's going to be a bump. And it's not going to be a bump that will sustain, because once the construction's there, we're going to have some more employment that will come out of that, but not the same as with construction. So I know the report last night from Moorhead State University was that they hope to have the dorm open in September. I know that the parking garage, I've heard, will be open in August, I think, with the food services coming a little further in the fall. So that's exciting. And you know, we're just excited about all the growth we have, but there again, you have to be even conservative on that and not make sure you go for the pie in the sky.
With that additional revenue, does that free you up to do some other things?
It does, and what we have to remember, too, is, you know, people thought when we see that additional revenue that's being shown is, well, can you do things like raises, and can you go out and buy this and that and the other? We're not necessarily going to be doing that. It just allows us to be able to, mid-year, possibly do some things as far as if we decide to do a major purchase, if we decide to, if our police and fire station wants some debt service comes off in the fall, also in the spring, does that free us up with being able to move that along a little bit quicker than we want to? But the key is insurance rates did increase. Our first insurance rate estimate that we received from KLC was 18% rate. Fortunately, through working with them and looking at different plans, we were able to reduce that down to about a 5 or 6% raise. But what people have to remember, one of the benefits of working at the city is we pay 94% of the health insurance for our employees. We have 70 employees, and that adds up to a family plan, for example, of roughly $14,000 a year benefit. So when that increase happens, even if it's slight, 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7%, we still have to incur that because of the setup we have. So that's, you know, those are things that we knew was going to be some sort of an increase, but we're not going to take this extra revenue, so to speak, and go out and go crazy with it. We're still going to remain the budget we have. It just enables us to possibly do some things mid-year.
Yeah, you mentioned that. If I remember correctly, also, no raises at least at the outset for city employees, correct? And I was going to say, in addition to that, perhaps could that be considered then at mid-year if things look pretty good?
Anything could be considered, and but right now I can say that the way we look at it, the increase in insurance costs would equate to a raise because we would cover that. So it's very hard to cover the rate increase as well as do a raise. At this point, I don't see that happening. But again, you know, we still don't know what the numbers are going to come back in November because we, you know, the way the trends have shown, they could come back even a little bit higher. But we were not comfortable with projecting that yet. We're comfortable where we are.
When you talked about the insurance cost increase, how much is it going to cost the city overall?
The first estimate I have to give you, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the first estimate at 18% was going to be something like $135,000 which is a lot. The 5%, I think it equates at roughly 40,000, maybe 50,000, somewhere in there. And I'll have to get those exact numbers to you from our city clerk. I just don't have them. But it was considerably less once we went from a different plan. That changed a little bit. We feel like it's a better plan, and it covers the needs that we have for our families as well as for the individual plans.
So have you passed a budget with a second reading yet?
No. Last night, the second reading of the initial budget failed for a second reading. So we had the first reading of the revised budget because we felt like that much money increase it's materially changed enough to where you need to go ahead and do a revised budget. So we had the first reading of it. Our plan is to have the second reading at the end of this month, the last Monday of the month. I believe it's the 28th.
Okay. How much is the overall budget?
It's roughly $8.1 million. Somewhere in there. I don't have, again, the down to the penny, but that's what we usually work on, maybe just a little bit more, but what we that's been consistent over the last 3 or 4 years as well. We looked at the previous administration's last two budgets. We looked at our first budget, this administration, and our second budget, and again, it's been pretty steady. It's been a pretty steady, not a lot of sharp increases or decreases, and it's right around that number.
I guess when you talk about a $1.4 million, I guess, carryover or whatever you want to call it, surplus, you have to have probably, what, at least $1 million to feel comfortable. Is that about right?
That's it's always been kind of a working rule of thumb. It's my understanding that previous administration tried to carry, and we think that's a good rule of thumb. We've tried to carry it over. And for example, we had the North Wilson project that's still going on. It's actually ahead of schedule. But that was a $300,000 hit that was not even in the budget because of, you know, those are things you have to adjust midstream. And so the $1 million allows you to not only look out for potential purchases or potential capital projects later on in the year based on the audit numbers, it also allows you to have kind of an insurance policy, so to speak, for things like that are unseen, that are unforeseen and unprepared for.
Well, give us an update on the North Wilson project since you mentioned it.
Well, it originally was going to be roughly 18 to 20 weeks. I think they're probably a week, maybe 2 weeks ahead of schedule. What was the best part of that was the timing of it. We tried to time it out to have as little disruption as we could for the residents, especially since the Circle, as it's known, a lot of college students live up there. And, of course, by having it over the summer, I think we had 1 week or 2 weeks before school was out, and we should have it finished before school gets back in. That's not saying that there's not some disruption for the folks that live up there on a regular basis and coming either way. However, we've had very little complaints, at least that's reached my desk, and we've had no accidents that we can report. I understand the construction company's done a very good job with signage, done a very good job with traffic flow. Again, it's an inconvenience, but we realize that the folks have been very patient with us because this is something that's going to be a 30-40 year fix. It looks really good, and the main thing is number one, it's a safety issue. It was breaking away from the road, which could have caused, and that's a very narrow section.
You're talking about
the retaining wall. If that retaining wall would have continued to depreciate and disintegrate, half of the road would have fell into the creek. And as you know, going up there often, that's one of the most narrow parts of that road is right there and around that little turn. So I haven't been up there in a couple of weeks, but Joe Parson is up there almost every day, and according to his reports, it's moving along very well. The reports from the construction company is they've had very little problems with traffic, and that's always good.
So is it on budget?
It's on budget, and it's actually a little ahead of time, and I don't want to jinx it because I don't want to say that, and then we have weather interruptions and push it back. But right now it looks like it's going to be definitely on schedule and maybe a little bit ahead of schedule.
So that's good news for everybody.
Very, very good news.
All right. We'll remind people that we're on the front page. We're talking with Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Meraz. We'll continue our discussion right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
And welcome back to today's front page. I'm Chuck Moraz. Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is our guest today on the program. And I know you heard from Mr. Rick Linio at the council meeting. He is the Assistant Vice President for Facilities Management at Morehead State. And he made a request to council in regards to the Adrian Dorn University renovation project because of the roads and maybe some detours they might need there because of all the construction.
He did. Because of the construction, which is going to be obviously an enormous amount of construction, they're basically adding 30% or so, I think, 33% to the existing building at Adrian Dorn Center. And they will be taking basically, if you have a map, visualize it, looking over top of it, they're going to expand out to what is the parking lot now on the east end of the building. So what their request was originally, they wanted to come in and see what part of Second Street, which runs between the Adrian Dorn, the rear of Adrian Dorn Center, and what is known as the Veterans Center and the old jail, how much of that, if maybe possibly all of that, could be closed on a temporary basis for up to 22 months. After discussing that with Joe Parson, our city planner, and our city our fire chief, Jeff Anderson, we came to the conclusion that our number one goal is we have to have that open at least one way to serve the folks there on 2nd Street. We have several folks that still live on the east end there, and so we came up with a good compromise that Rick thinks the university can live with, and also will help them in staging some of their equipment. So we're going to basically divide the road up. Half the road, which would be normally the westbound road, will be closed for about 20 to 22 months, depending on how the schedule is with construction. It will still be a one-way street, so you would come up Batson Oaks, you would turn right if you're going to go that way, and you have to go all the way out to what I consider the road that comes down off the University Boulevard, down by the used to be Super America, down that way back onto Main Street. So
you're talking about Elizabeth Avenue?
Elizabeth Avenue. I went blank. And the reason why that's important is there was no other way for if that section of road behind ADUC was closed because of the turning radius of a fire truck, even the smallest one, it would be very difficult to get it up there in an emergency situation. It's better for it to go on a straight shot. Then it can turn down Elizabeth. It was getting on to 2nd Street past the Blair Building was what was going to be difficult, was for the turn radiuses. So we think we've got a good compromise there. It will help everybody. It is going to be some inconvenience for folks living on the east end of 2nd Street. They won't be able to go back out near Batson Oaks. However, it's much better than having half the road completely closed. So our number one goal always is safety of our residents, and also being able to access the university. And that's another point. They're going to close Batson Oaks up there by Raider, up by the Combs Building and down to that 2nd Street. And but they're still allowing access for the fire trucks. So they've been very good with working with us, and that's their number one priority as well. They want to expand construction, but they also want to make it accessible to emergency vehicles. So we feel like we've got a good partnership going right there to help them not to slow up their construction, but also keep everybody safe as normal.
Batson Oaks, though, eventually will be closed anyway in that area because you're talking about putting a pedestrian mall.
It will be, and that was one of the reasons that we talked about this a year ago when we went in and did the quote-unquote experiment of closing down or making it an all-way stop there at the main intersection at Batson Oaks and Main and going on down to Bridge Street. And that's one of the reasons we had seen the master plan and the future plans of them closing Batson Oaks to make it more pedestrian-friendly, because if you remember, we've talked about it several times. I know you've had people from the university on here. You know, eventually they're going to close University Boulevard from Breck, basically, Elizabeth Breck the area, down to Batson Oaks right there at 2nd Street. So that's another one of the reasons we went to the all-way stop, which will hopefully this summer, with another project we're getting ready to begin, will become a four-way stop very soon, which we will take out the turn lanes, and those will become parking spaces. So we hope to gain around a dozen or so parking spaces in that area. But again, the pedestrian-friendly with university, trying to merge it into what we're doing downtown to make it more more foot traffic, more bicycle friendly, And we're seeing that. If you notice, if you notice now, not because it's summertime, but even in the spring and in the fall, we've noticed a lot more pedestrian and bike traffic, and that's what we're trying to get to. You know, we think that makes it more of a hometown feeling, and right now we're working very well with university on taking care of what they want to do, but also making it more of a community feel.
When you take out the turning lanes, what could that possibly do to traffic then?
Well, what it will do, we wanted to have the we've had it there almost a year now as far as the always stop, and it's the experiment, so to speak, has worked very well. We've had, I don't know if you've even had any reported accidents there or not. Everybody always says there's near accidents, but there's near accidents everywhere, whether it's lights or stop signs or whatever. But our main goal, again, is when we went to the 20-mile-an-hour through town, to slow everybody down a little bit, to make it pedestrian-friendly. That will enable some of the parking spaces that people feel like in that area were short a little bit, although the count shows we're not. It will get us back from that area going west down Main Street. We're going to slowly go back to parallel parking, which will, again, give us more additional space.
You're going to take the curves out too, right?
We're going to take the curves out eventually. We've checked with DLG and some other agencies to make sure that there wasn't a long there was some talk at one time that you couldn't do that because of the way it was put in with a grant, but it's our understanding. We've checked. I have personally checked with the state, and we can do that. It's just going to be, we're going to try to do it in phases. Our first phase right now is going to be working on that intersection, making it a four-way stop, working next to Jan Bishop's place there at Pasquale's. That'll be the first experiment on making what is now the through lane next to her building. That will become parking, and the turn lane will become a through lane. So it's the same concept, except for two cars waiting, one to go straight and one to turn. The car will make a decision. And to be honest with you, if you think about it, it will actually make it easier because you won't have six to eight cars stopping at the same time. You will have four. And everyone uses the yield laws that they all took their driver's test with. It should be fine. And I think it will actually make it easier for drivers and pedestrians.
Okay. So parallel parking downtown.
Parallel parking downtown, if you look at it from the Bats and Oats, Bridge Street, Pasquale's area right there, forward, it's parallel parking. You know, if you go in front of the old courthouse, if you go in front of Holbrook's Drugs, all the way up to the campus, that's all parallel parking.
So you're going to take that and extend it back through
downtown.
We're going to
extend it back through downtown, which I think right now, again, we've looked at this several different ways. We've talked to the transportation department. We've talked to several different people. Tony Pence has worked very hard. He's our Downtown Morehead Incorporated executive director, and he studied this. And the thing is, if you notice, there are certain areas in town, if a truck is parked in one of the parking spaces, especially when you get down past the police station, down around Arby's area, you got to swing out almost into the other lane to avoid hitting someone. And so, you know, those diagonal parking spaces are great when you drive a Prius or a Chevette or a small two-door car or a four-door car. When you drive a truck, which a lot of people have, we're in a community that have those, or vans, it's kind of dangerous. Parallel parking, you actually gain a little bit of space on a parallel parking space. 22 feet is what they recommend, 24 for a handicap space. And I don't know if some of those diagonal spaces are that big. I know they're not as wide as a parallel parking space. So even though you look at that, we're going to gain numbers of on-street parking.
By how many? Do you have an idea how many?
We figured up once we do, it depends on how the layout finishes out, but if we do the intersection there at Bats and Oats, Bridge Street, Main Street, Pasquale's area, and go down all the way, let's say we go all the way down to where we get back to parallel parking right around past IGA, that area, something like 25 spaces of a net gain.
Believe. Do you know how many are downtown now? Or
you know what? Tony Pence has those numbers. I don't know.
Oh, I'll bet he does.
he's got them. Actually, you know, we had Damon Ballinger, who is a local businessman. Damon is co-chairman of our parking committee, along with Jamie Breeze. Damon went and physically counted parking spaces a couple days back in the spring of last year. And we had something like, and this is counting parking spaces at IGA and private and business and public, we have something like 1,300 parking spaces downtown. People don't believe that when you tell them that. But when, you know, that's public, private, and this is on Main Street now, downtown Main Street. So we got plenty of parking. It's just the fact that the way some of them are there and some of the people don't like to walk very far although they'll go to a big box store and walk half a mile, they don't like to walk, 30 feet when they're downtown.
Mr. Mayor, as always, thanks so much for joining us on Front Page. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Again, that's Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent with us today on the show. I'm Chuck Meraz, and we'll see you next time.